And greetings to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this September 6, 2018, live from the Radio Ranch. What a, you know, a beautiful day here today. I sure hate to boast. I don't mean it to sound like boasting, but we have had some excellent weather. We're pretty dry. Been trying to run the sprinkler a little bit. It's been pretty dry here, but we got rain around. We had rain in town, we had rain up in the mountains, but it kind of missed us today, but that's all right. We are still abundantly blessed and glad to be coming to you live here this night. We'll have the phone lines open here for a little bit tonight, I think. I think we could open them up a little later. But I have some current events I'd like to talk to you about today. Some of the scriptures that we see in the Bible coming true again for us. We know that many scriptures are prophetic, and they tell how things happened 2, 3, 4,000 years ago, but then they also show us what's going to happen and what is happening. It's exciting to me to see the events of the day and to say, hey, wait a minute, I read about that. Or isn't that what it talks about in Ezekiel? And I think it is. So stay tuned. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. It's always good to do that. And you know, I try to encourage everyone on Sunday morning when we tune in to, when we start our Sunday morning church service. We start that at 8:30 Mountain Time with a scriptural review of the news. And I try to encourage people then to remind you, to remind them to be prayed up. Hopefully you are prayed up. As Christians, we are to pray. It's like a, if you can picture a combat soldier going into combat in Fallujah or in the Battle of the Bulge or however you picture a combat soldier going in. You know, we've been in a perpetual war since 2001, and so there's almost an entire generation that's come up in war. And so, but before they go out into battle, you know, they don't just roll out of bed in the morning or out of their cot in their skivvies and flip-flops and then jump at a Humvee and go into battle. No. They get up, and before they go into battle, they armor up. They make sure that they have their vehicle that they're going to be in, and it's an armored vehicle. And they get their armor on. They get their breastplate and their, you might say, the truth, that they gird about their loins, and they get armored up before they go out into battle. Well, folks, it's that way in the spiritual realm as well. I hope you know that. I hope if you don't, I want you to start today to be prayed up, to pray on, and I suggest doing it in the morning. Pray on. Pray that. Lord's Prayer first thing in the morning, and put on the full armor of God. Pray it on your family, on your friends. Pray for your friends. Pray for your church. Pray for this church. Pray for the ministry. Pray for those of us here that are about the Father's business. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit. And that's just a beginning, but I encourage you to start your day that way. We need to be doing that as Christians. When we do, when you go into the day armored up and starting the right way, what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. Well, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we were able, and I was able to start this day that way, Father, with prayers to you, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for this day of life you've given us, this opportunity right now to have fellowship with the remnant, Lord, to be able to talk about the events of the day, but Lord, to look at them and to think of them from a biblical perspective, Lord, and maybe from your perspective. That's what we desire, Father. So I thank you for this. I thank you for this opportunity, and I ask that you would guide and direct me, my thoughts and my words, and the directions that I go tonight, Lord, and as your word says, you will give us the very words we need that very hour. And so I ask for that, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak, to glorify you, and to encourage your people to love and good deeds. Father, to remind them to be doing what the word tells us to do. Father, I do ask for your blessings on the remnant, Lord, that you would strengthen those that are weak, and that, Lord, that you would allow us to help with that, Lord, to help those that are in need. Father, that are in need, whether it's for prayer or whatever it may be, Father, here we are. Father, we love you. We desire to serve you, Lord. And so here we are. Here I am, Lord. Use me to your glory. In Jesus' name, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. And I pray. Amen. And amen. Again, thanks for tuning in. Thought I'd start out with a couple of current events here. Had one couple came across my desk just today. Said a recent private survey showed that U.S. businesses added 163,000 jobs just in August. And this alludes that employers are confident enough to keep on hiring. Looking at, we've had solid economic growth here for at least a year in this country. Talking a growth rate of 4.2% in the April, May, June quarter. And that's the fastest growth rate in the last 4 years, at least. It says here that Friday's report, and this was put out by ADP, the big payroll company, says they added a solid 189,000 jobs last month. Got a couple of different numbers there, but that's pretty good. Unemployment rate, 3.9%. And what it's causing is, it's causing smaller companies, they're having a harder time finding workers. And I've sure noticed it driving here in Laramie and down in Colorado, the help wanted signs. People are hiring. You see it. You see it online. You see it out when you go out and drive. But it says that for medium-sized companies, 50 to 500 employees, hiring was pretty strong, very strong. Just a little bit later, I saw this email. Said, down in South Florida, employers are struggling to fill jobs, paying $75,000 a year plus benefits and pension with no college degree. And it's basically skilled labor in the construction area. Local contractors down there in South Florida, salaries starting at $75,000 a year, full benefits, full pension, and from project administrators, and that's just a fancy name for, you know, contractors, chief contractor, someone that maybe has a little experience and that can step in, you know, away from doing actually maybe pouring the concrete or building the walls to working with the suits, you might say, in managing construction projects. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, estimated 243,000 construction jobs open right now nationwide. Now, granted, they're building a little faster down there in South and Central Florida than we are here in Wyoming, and that's okay. But there are jobs out there. Jobs out there. You know, the families and educational institutions have been pushing everyone to go to college. Go to college. Got to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Go to college. Go to get you $100,000, $200,000 in debt. But many people, and we've talked about it before on these broadcasts, many people are realizing that there are other jobs out there that pay pretty much the same amount of money at the end of the day that these 4 and 6 year college degrees are going to pay, but not have the $100,000 and $150,000 debt that comes from school. And I call this better. Okay, I call it better. We're seeing jobs, the economy, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, sure seems better. Now, we have to make sure as Christians that we don't fall into the trap that everything's just fine and dandy. No, it has been a lot of prayer and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of work to get to this point. And there has been a lot of repentance and a lot of returning to God. And that starts in the home. It starts with me and it starts with you, brother. It starts in the home. It starts saying, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to be out in ungodly behavior. Think if you turn over to, I wasn't planning on it, but had this here just a minute ago in Peter. And let me take a look and see where this is. I had it just a minute ago, right before we came on. And it is 2 Peter 1. And I would encourage you to take a look at that. I'm not going to read it, but I'll encourage you to read it. 2 Peter 1 verses, that's 1 Peter. 2 Peter 1 verses 1 through 8. And it gives us some qualities of how we are to be. Okay? You know, applying diligence and faith and moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours. And so I ask you, Remnant, are these qualities yours? 2 Peter chapter 1, take a look. Are these qualities yours? If we were to come and ask five of your neighbors or five of your work associates or five of your family members, we're not going to do that. That's just for you to think about. Would these qualities be yours? Because it says, if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but I do not want to be useless when it comes to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want him to look upon Richard and say, oh, that Richard's useless. He doesn't have any of these qualities. I've read this, and I've changed my life over the years to try to align my life with these qualities. And I hope you have too, because I don't want to be rendered useless. I don't want to be thought of as useless. And so I have to do these things. Part of that is prayer. And we have continued to appeal to our God in prayer and fasting, in being a doer of the word. Was texting with a brother right before we went on the broadcast tonight and talking about, you know, what's it like if we go to God and we say, oh Lord, here I am, use me, I will do what you want me to do, and then he speaks to us and we don't do it. That lends more into rendering us useless for his service. No, if that's happened, he will give us another chance. He will let us take the test again if we failed it. He lets us take the test again even if we haven't failed it. But we want to, like I like what it says here, applying all diligence. We have to do that. And that's how we are to be. And that is one of the reasons the economy is better. That is one of the reasons that we see headlines like this. You know, this Kaepernick thing. What? Kaepernick. Kaepernick is how you pronounce it. I don't know how to pronounce that. How you yell his name. Anyway, Kaepernick. Oh man, Nike. He's like the latest Tiger Woods. He's just made millions. Millions with this Nike endorsement. He's not playing ball, but see, he represents this myth that the Antichrist left. Those that hate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and their media and their Hollywood, he is this myth that they have created. Oh, that he is sacrificed and standing, or let me say, no, he's not standing. He's kneeling to represent who knows what. And so Nike stepped in. I tell you what, I'll be getting rid of any Nike shoes that I've got. I don't think I've got any. But I'll be going through the kids' closet as well and seeing if we can't get them replaced as soon as possible. So Kaepernick gets this $1 million. You don't see anything in the media about how much money he's making off this. Millions. This is not a $100,000 endorsement. Millions it'll be. Well, College of the Ozarks, bless your heart, they've dropped him. Says here, the College of the Ozarks has decided to choose its country over company. and do away with all athletic uniforms which display the Nike logo. Now, I know that's not USC, College of the Ozarks, but it's got to start somewhere, right? We've got to make a choice. Are we going to support Nike, this company that supports the destruction of America, the dishonoring of the American flag, the dishonoring of our troops, the dishonoring of our nation? That's what Nike honors and pays for and wants to be represented by. This man that dishonors his parents. I like the quote here. If Nike is ashamed of America, we're ashamed of them. How about that? I like that. Also, sporting goods store down in Colorado. No, not a big one, but let's see. Who is it here? Steve Martin, owner of Primetime Sports in Colorado Springs, saw this report today. Just going to do it. Going to get rid of all the Nike stuff. He says, I'm pretty sure I won't survive without them, but I got to do what I got to do. I'm just doing it. How about that? He's taking the Nike saying to heart, and he's saying, I'm not going to carry your stinking stuff if you want this kind of representation. This guy thinking he knows what sacrifice is. And so it's encouraging to me to see this, because the left is... It's like they've pulled out all the stops. They really have. And had a couple of news articles, and the latest is just it truly is. We see the left is outraged, and seeing news reports today that their senators, Democratic senators, are saying we'll break the law. We will violate rules willingly. And basically what they're saying is they will cheat and lie to prevent any good that is trying to be done in this country. And that's how we have to look at it. They have tried, when we say they, we mean the left, that Hollywood and the left, the mainstream media, and the college professors for the most part, the left. The left-leaning, the atheists, the idiotic scientists, the Hollywood group, they have tried everything that they could in this unrelenting vendetta against and to discredit our president and our vice president. You know, just today it was like they had this op-ed out in the New York Times, anonymous, of course, which means that anyone could have written it, but it is just a rumor, and all of a sudden the New York Times has jumped on it like white on rice, like it is just right out of the gospel, if they believed the gospel. And they push it and promote it, and President Trump, what do you think about these accusations against you? And I think the president, I saw one thing today, he just laughed at it. Literally laughed at it. And this is just one more. And that's what I want you to see, folks. It's really not anything to get really mad and upset about. Be something good to pray about. Pray that that God's will be done and the enemy falls in the pit that they dig. But they have tried everything to discredit this president, from Stormy Daniels to this latest op-ed today to the emails it didn't work. You know, nobody wanted to hear about the emails from Hillary with Hillary or with former President Obama or anything. But all the emails here and the collusion with Russia it has just been a mess. And they have tried and tried and tried, but... Just like this this op-ed today, they talked about how they allege that the root of the problem in the White House is the president's amorality. He is not moored to any discernible first principles. And see, what they're trying to paint him is that he's just all over the board, that he's going here and he's going there, and they can't keep track of anything that he's doing. And if anything, that represents the Obama administration that would just come out of nowhere with some crazy stuff. But what we're seeing here in President Trump's administration is a leading of America first. And he's not a politician. He's a businessman. And D.C., right and left, they are still, 2 years later, trying to catch up to him, trying to figure out what he's going to do next. You know, the NAFTA comes to mind. I talked about NAFTA this past Sunday morning, and what an atrocity NAFTA has been. How it has just raped and pillaged the United States for some fat cats to get wealthy, and most of blue-collar America to lose jobs, and the living expenses to go up. And the left and the right and those that get kickbacks, and but that is what is going on. And policies that this administration has done, we've seen improvement in the lives of millions. We've seen a growth in the economy. We've seen more jobs. We've seen fewer people on food stamps, not because this nation has cut food stamp programs, but because fewer people have to be on them, because there's jobs where those people can go out and work, and that includes African Americans, Latinos, women, small business owners. He's kept his campaign promise. And what we are seeing is a classic fight that we have seen before of good versus evil, of goats versus sheep, of right versus wrong. This is really bringing out the very worst in Washington, or just the very majority, I think. It really is. That was mentioned in another news article that I saw today. You know, if you watched any of these Kavanaugh hearings, the Supreme Court nomination hearings, the gnashing of teeth, the yelling and screaming. They're arresting people over this. They're not arresting conservatives. Let me tell you, it's liberals. Had this quote here, I think it applies. It says, it certainly reminds us of the very worst of Washington, the focus on style over substance, the personal over policy. But it's even more serious than that. Political appointees or civil service bureaucrats who actually take pride in subverting the democratic will of the people exemplify the frightening authoritarianism we face at the hands of an entrenched ruling class determined to cling to power regardless of who actually wins elections. What this week reveals is that Washington elites have gone mad. They've not only lost touch with the real-life struggles of the working men and women of America, whom they despise. And it goes on and talks about the insider club from both parties, and that Beltway establishment has become so isolated from reality that it ignores substantive results. That's right. They ignore the economic progress, the decrease in unemployment, the increase in jobs. They ignore all that. And it reminds me when we read in the Word of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had become so involved in themselves and thinking that what they were doing was right. And you know, they just, the common people, they put the laws on the common people that they wouldn't obey. They would put the common laws on the people. Jesus accused them. They said, you know, you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you ignore the weightier matters of the law. And see, that's what they did, and that's what these Washington elites have done, and that's what they do, and it's being reported now. It's coming out. People are seeing this more and more. It is our hope and prayer that as our prayers are answered in this area, and more people see this, that, you know, we're not the type of people that are going to run down and lynch and riot as other people do. Our prayer and hope is that it turns people back to God. Is that when they see this, when our people realize the depths of the depravity, and that for most politicians, there's not a dime's worth of difference in Democrat or Republican. That they see that this ruling class, that it is just like the Pharisees and Sadducees of old. That they didn't have a clue. They might have been the ruling class, but they didn't have a clue. And I tell you, it is the pistol prayer being answered. We've been praying that prayer for years. Yes, we have stuck to it. And it is being answered. DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, bales be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. We are seeing that. We are living that today. We are. The people of DC and the Antichrist left, they truly are out of touch with reality. They are living in a fantasy world where they don't see the reality of black and white of what is actually going on. They don't see how Americans really are or what our needs are. And this businessman that we have a president now, he does. You know, the Illinois shootings, there have been more people shot and killed in Illinois in the last few months than years in our war. And it just escapes. You know, there's, because it's blacks killing blacks is the majority of it. See, that escapes the left-wing Antichrist media's notice. But we see it. But it just shows that they are out of touch with reality. It is just insane. The attacks on the right and the Christians are being ignored by the mainstream media. When there is black-on-white crime, you never hear about it. You never hear about it. But when there's white-on-black crime, it is front-page news. Why is that? Because we're under attack, because the left is outraged. They have just opened the floodgates. But that prayer, that pistol prayer, has been answered, and it is being answered. The idols are being cast down, you know, not only in Washington, D.C., but in Hollywood. You know, earlier, what was it last year? It was Conyers and Senator Franklin out of the Congress. These that were lifelong politicians' idols, they've been cast down. Matt Lauer out at NBC, he was it. And many people say, who? See, he's been forgotten. Garrison Keillor, even from NPR, was a huge gone. And the Hollywood idols, have you noticed lately how many are dying off? Now, Burt Reynolds died today, and so I don't lump him into this. He usually stayed pretty quiet politically. But many of the Hollywood that were idols, especially these ungodly ones that have sold their soul to the devil, they're committing suicide left and right. These idols and chefs, and because the DC sorcery, that left Antichrist sorcery, is ceasing. Saw a quote from the president today. Even overseas, you know, he talked about how many countries in dealing with this NAFTA have been taking advantage of the United States for many years. And he said, not anymore. Not anymore. And so that's better. These idols are being cast down. The economy's back on track. There's more jobs. Things are better. Now this better is still like a second chance. We had a news article. We have many people on the Remnant, and I thank you for doing it, Remnant, that send news articles into us. And there was one that was sent in, I think, by Brother Fred, and it talked about a church down, I think, in Georgia or Alabama, and they were talking and interviewing some of the the people going there. And it was even mentioned there that, hey, God, through President Trump, is giving us a second chance. It's given us a chance to catch our breath, to get a little bit ahead. But it's a test. It is a test. And if the scriptures were being written today, can't you see that it would be, God saying, hey, I gave them a reprieve. I gave them a second chance. I took away their excuses. I gave them jobs. And I gave them a good economy. And I gave them the ability to work and to pay their bills and to have food and to do these things, to have an overabundance. And so what did they do with it? What are we doing with our abundance, America? Are we going to be like we read in the Bible when, Jeshurun grew fat and kicked? He has waxed fat and kicked, and that's us. That's Joshua. That's Judah. That's all of us that have done that. And maybe we've done that in the past, but can we not learn from our mistakes? Will we not learn from our mistakes? That when we have this blessing that we have today, this abundance, we're just going to sit on our couch and grow fat and happy? And we can't do that. We cannot be the people that put that bumper sticker on the back of the motorhome that say, we're spending our children's inheritance. Talk about flipping the bird to God. Let us not be those kind of people. We can't be. We are in a spiritual war. We may very well soon be in a physical war. The left, as they gnash their teeth. Lamentations 2 says, all your enemies, and I wrote in here the left, all your enemies have opened their mouth wide against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we've swallowed her up. Surely this is the day for which we waited. We've reached it and we've seen it. Our enemies are doing that very thing, hissing and gnashing our teeth. Even this morning, right here in little old Laramie, Wyoming, made Fox News today. How about that? Wyoming GOP office set on fire in apparent arson. And that's just what happened. Early Thursday morning, first floor office at the Albany County Republican headquarters, right here in little Albany County. Laramie, Wyoming, population 32,000. School started at University of Wyoming just a couple weeks ago. Arson. Just caused minor damage, no injuries. There was a Make America Great Again sign. Maybe that just caused some snowflake to get outraged. Maybe that's what it was. The left, they know their time is short. And that's because, Remnant, you have been praying. And we have been turning, not to the left or to the right, but staying on the straight and narrow course. And from seeing the correspondence that comes in and talking to the remnant as they call in and as we talk to members down in Texas and in Missouri and in Georgia and out in California and Alaska and Montana and New York and Pennsylvania and Michigan and places in between. I want to encourage you, the remnant has been praying. There are many that have been choosing the straight and narrow, that have been making the right decision, that have been practicing righteousness, as we've talked about. A couple verses here. Psalms 37, starting in verse 11, says, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. And that's exactly what we're living today. The wicked do that very thing. They plot. They steal, kill, and destroy. They stay up at night. Their sleep is taken away if they can't devise wicked things against the righteous. That's the battle we're in, folks. But that's okay, because verse 13 says, the Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and they bent the bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. And that might be a little scary thinking. Sometimes it might be, if that's all you read. If you just read that far and you say, that's certainly what they've done. They've drawn swords. They're coming against us. They might firebomb us. Verse 15 of Psalms 37 says, their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Praise God. It goes on and says, better is a little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. And I hope you heard that out there, folks. Psalms 37:16, better. There's that better again. See, better, things are better today. Better is the little of the righteous. Because when the righteous get a little, we are content. And we are to be content. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. And that is how we are to be. I was talking with a man this week, and he said, you know, I just don't even want to have grandchildren as bad as the world's getting. And I rebuked him on that. I said, no. When we follow the Lord, we know this. We know that we can have abundance. And we can teach and train our children to overcome. And to trust in the Lord with all their heart, and to lean not into their own understanding. And this Psalms 37:19 is true. If we will do that, we will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And now, right now, folks, is a time of evil. It is a time when the enemy is raging and gnashing their teeth and pulling out all the stops. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ right now. Not at all. It is a time for us to be bold, to pray, God, here I am, use me. And if he says go, go. If he says go down to the courthouse and read the scriptures, go do it. If he says anoint it, go do it. If it's in front of the hospital, or if it's whatever it is, when we pray and say, Lord, here I am, send me. Be ready. Be not ashamed in this time of evil. Because in the days of famine that are coming, if we will do this, we will have abundance. It goes on and says, verse 20, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. Oh, they're so beautiful. But they vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Praise God. Praise God that they do. Praise God. You know, there's several verses in the Bible that remind us that we will be hated because of Jesus Christ. And if that scares you away, if you say, well, I don't want to be hated, well, you better go somewhere else. And you better find somebody else to follow, somebody else besides Jesus Christ, because his word is true. Matthew 10:22 tells us some complementary scriptures to that. Mark 13:13, Luke 21:17, in John 15, I would encourage you, we were in Peter. If you flip over to John, and I think we've got time to read this tonight. Let's see. John, that's still New Testament, right? Yeah, there we go, John. John verse chapter 15. And under the subheading of the relationship, disciples' relationship to the world, it says, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Verse 21 says, all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. And verse 23 said, he who hates me, that means he who hates Jesus Christ, hates my Father also. And John 17:14, just flip the page. It's just a little bit further over. Verse 14, John 17:14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of this world, even as I am not of the world. And this is Jesus speaking to the Father. This is the prayer that he was praying. And so we see that we are to be hated, but that's okay. Because if we are hated by the world, well, we can be loved by God. If you turn over to Hebrews, while we're here in the New Testament, this gives us again some, this Hebrews 1:9. It gives us an idea. It gives us how we are to be. Many people say, well, so what do I do now? How am I to be? I've repented. I've been baptized. I'm reading my Bible. What do I do now? Hebrews 1, and starting in verse 5, this, this is telling of Jesus Christ, and the writer here is using it in contrast, because he starts in verse 5 saying, "For to which of the angels did he ever say?" And see, the implication here is he never did. But God said it to his Son, Jesus Christ, and he says it to us if we will be this way. In Hebrews 1:9, it says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Because you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And that comes from Psalms 45:7. It's a reference. You'll see if you have a reference Bible that's where it takes, and that these verses are capitalized, meaning that they're a direct quote from the Old Testament. And so Psalms 45:7, if you take a look here, it's a song of love. Verse 1 says, my heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the King. And that's a capital K. That means these are addressed to God Almighty. And verse 6 says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. And when you read on through, you see, this is how we are to be. Because God loves righteousness, and he hates wickedness. And so, when we read this in Hebrews 1:9, understand where it says in Hebrews 1:5, for which of the angels did he ever say to? And he never did. He never has. But he says that to us. And verse 2, after you read all this, verse 2 of Hebrews 2 says, for this reason, because he didn't say any of these previous things to any of the angels. No, he didn't say it to any of the angels, but he says it to us. He presents it to us. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away from it. And we do have to pay attention. We do have to make sure that we stay on the straight and narrow. You know, just as there are those that lie about our president and vice president, and those that are lying about Kavanaugh now, and they just come up with accusations, and they just come up out of the blue. Well, we get lied about here. We do. I hope you understand that. We are not ones to go in and lie or gossip about others. No, because the Scripture tells us not to do that. And it tells us that when we're lied about, when we're persecuted, to rejoice. Because it proves the ministry. Our pastor had his fair share of those that came in. And came in among them, I could name names, but if you've been around for a while, there were many that have gone on to be pastors. Many of their churches have failed. and are no more. There were some that were here in Pastor's day that it was all he could do to cram this Christianity, to cram the Anglo-Israel message down their throat to make them understand it. But then before you know it, up, they know better. Sheep stealers is a term that comes to mind. Cattle rustlers comes to mind as well. We still have that out west here. That's still a problem. There's signs up in Laramie says we still hang bike thieves, because that's the equivalent of a horse thief today. But there's still cattle rustlers out there. There's still those that will do whatever they have to do to steal a few sheep. And unfortunately, they get a few stolen. There's some that, to put it bluntly, just don't stay true to the word. There's some out there that want to believe the lies that are spouted. They want to believe it, and it's because of their own sin nature. It's as simple as that. See, love believes all, but not in that way. The scriptures tell us love believes all. See, love believes that the brethren are good and that they're going to do all they can to honor God. But when that sin nature creeps in and we listen to that evil one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, well, see, then it's gossip. And that gossip sometimes abounds. And when we stray from the Bible and say, wait a minute now, and if you say this, I need a second witness. If you're saying that so-and-so has done such-and-such, we need a second witness to stay biblical and to stay grounded in this word. And there's not second witnesses. There's not. 2 Peter 1, we read it earlier. Verse 4 says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And so, if it's only by the divine, by these things, that we become partakers of the divine nature. Verse 5 says, now for this very reason, and we talked about it earlier, applying all diligence in your faith, accept moral excellence. That means you strive to be as morally excellent as you can. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. Because that knowledge comes from the fear of God. That knowledge comes from turning from the lust of the world and being lied about and taking it. Nope, I'm not going to rebuke that. I'm not going to go wallow in the mud with the pigs. I'm not going to do that. It says, in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. That is lacking in the world today. Sadly, it's lacking in the church. In many that call themselves Christians. But we are to have self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. That means we get up and do it again tomorrow. Well, I might not feel like it, or I might not want to, or I got other stuff to do. We persevere. We continue on. And in your perseverance, godliness. We have Christ, our perfect example of how we are to live and how we are to speak to one another and how we are to think of one another. That's how we are to be. And in your godliness, it continues on. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgot his purification from his former sins. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. In this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Amen. Amen. And so we do that. We are persecuted, so be it. We are lied about. Well, if you want to believe the lies and the gossip, you just go right ahead. Sheep are stolen sometimes. That's how it goes. Nothing new under the sun. See, that's not on us. That's on the sheep stealers. And that's on the sheep. It's as simple as that. Well, Remnant didn't get to open the phone lines up tonight. Sorry about that. Let me push the button here again. We are live here this September 6th. You'll probably hear the program at other times. We do replay it, and it'll be on the archives at sfawbn.com. The complete broadcasting schedule is there as well. I want to thank you all for joining in, and we thank all of those that support us, that allow these broadcasts and the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week broadcast to go out all over the country, all over the world. Got a call from Italy last week. And a couple phone calls actually from the lady and wanted to get some books and heard us on shortwave and have been on the internet and praise God. And so the word goes out. It continues to. Well, again, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. And hey, we will be back Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And hey, we'll see you then.